Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Decent. I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We are having an awesome, awesome time. I truly enjoy hanging out and being with you guys here on Good Deeds. You know what our goal is. Our goal and our passion and purpose here is to what? To share other people's their vision, their passion, their purpose, and the things that, you know, that God has actually put in their life. We just truly, truly enjoy it. Guess what? You know, today is what? Thanksgiving Day. But you know what? Every day is it's Thanksgiving. You should have gratitude in everything you do and everything you say, okay? You know, it's just amazing, amazing, amazing to be alive. We need to realize that, you know, I always say we need to what? Don't stop, get it. You know what I love to say? I always love being part of this wonderful world. You know, life is so amazing. We need to always do three things. We need to do the three things I always say. We need to believe, trust, and walk it out. You know, the things that I love is to encourage other people. We need to call in and, you know, give people encouragement words. You know, we need to always not put yourself first. We need to always think about the health and the care of other people. You know, the basic necessities in life, food, water, and shelter, okay? And, you know, sometimes we get this thing off track that we need to realize that it's okay to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. You know, that's just amazing. We have an awesome, awesome young lady here with us on Thanksgiving Day. We actually have a best-selling author. She is here. She's going to give you the real deal because it's the, you know, the holiday season. We still need to bring awesome information to you that you can actually better yourself. And what we love to do here, we love to educate, okay? We need to motivate and inspire that you can actually make a wise decision. We actually have today the best-selling author, Charnell Williams, in the house with us today. And we just can't wait to bring her in that we actually can learn more about her, and then we can find out the awesome things that's going on in her life and how we can support her and how she is changing the world. We want to welcome best-selling author Charnell Williams. Welcome to Good Deeds.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How you doing? Welcome to Good Deeds.
I'm doing okay. You can hear me?
Well, let's just dive on right into this. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and the awesome things that's going on in your life.
Okay. Well, a little bit about myself. My name is Charnell Williams. I was born and raised in North New Jersey. I published three books I have. I'm a wife, a mother, an author, and a grandmother. I'm so proud to be a grandmother.
Oh, that is awesome. Yes.
And I have three published books out now. My first book is a nonfiction book. It's based on, as a matter of fact, it's called What Do A Mother Do? The Shaquille Williams Story. It's based on my son who passed away from leukemia at the age of 12. 2 days after his birthday. And that's my first book. My second book is A Mother's Worst Nightmare, Read Our Story, Share Our Angels. I co-wrote that with another author named Nicole because her daughter passed away, too, from epilepsy. So we took two short stories and put them in one book. And my last and final book is I'm Black and He's White, and that's a fiction book. My first fiction book, I was so excited about it. So I just want to pat myself on the shoulder.
No, that's a great accomplishment. You know, I'm an author and publisher as well, so I know that people love to tell you, stay in one genre. But, you know, I say, you know, whatever God puts in you, you need to just express that. And so we commend you for actually taking that step out to kind of do the fiction, nonfiction kind of thing. Ain't no telling, your next book may be a children's book.
No, I'm thinking about a thriller. I'm thinking about a thriller suspense. I want to try, like you said, it's good to try different things. And I just want to try different genres, and whatever fit me, fit me. Because you're going to have the bad with the ugly on any book you write, nonfiction, fiction, whatever. So you have to get out there. You got to turn your head a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I actually heard a best-selling author say this about a couple of days ago, and it made me say an aha moment. Because all of his books are nonfiction, but what he did is, because you know in nonfiction we're actually talking about experience, you know, you guys, that people have been through. But the great thing about doing fiction, put a fiction twist on it, you can actually talk about the same thing, but don't have to use, let's say, for instance, her name is Mary. Mary not going to know that's really her because she'll have a whole other name. So,
well, you got to change the names around a little bit.
So that's the awesome fact. I mean, even in my book, it was nonfiction. It's about grief as well. I had to get permission from my own family. You know, you had to get permission from people that you're using their names and all this stuff in the nonfiction book.
Yes.
So, and then you can tweak it a little bit with the fiction, can't you?
luckily my nonfiction was I didn't have to get nobody permission because it was my son based on my son passing away. So I kept a journal while he was in the hospital, and a nurse asked me one day, you should turn that nonfiction book into a book so it can help and inspire other people who done lost a child or went through what you're going through. And that's what I did.
Wow. Well, if you don't mind, can we talk a little bit more about that? Because I can tell you, well, you know it firsthand, but my mom, because when my brother passed, that was her only son, she said that it'll make you or you'll break you. That was the one statement when people kept asking her, that was her consistent. It'll make you or it'll break you.
Right. And at the time, I felt like it was going to break me, like everybody was strong, because when you're going through, especially like a close death, like your child, you know, ain't no other pain, ain't no other experience you can ever experience as a woman is losing a child. And once you're going through that pain, like your mother said, it can make you or break you. And sometimes I feel sad because sometimes it breaks parents when they lose a child. Some of them turn to drugs. Some of them turn to, you know, they either get on medicine because they start, you know, really their mind start playing tricks on them and stuff. So as a mother, I'm proud of myself. And my husband told me, I'm so happy that you didn't go the other way because I could have went the other way, you know. And he was like, I'm so proud because, you know, you losing a child, a mother takes it harder and different from as a father losing a child.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we want to point out the great thing that you did, and I did that as well, and my mother as well. We just finding this out. Journaling helps as part of the healing process. So if you go, whatever you're going through, you lost your job, you lost your car, you have someone real sick in the hospital, or you pet. I mean, even if your pet has passed away, a loved one has passed away. Journal, write down your thoughts. I mean, write it on a napkin. Write it. I mean, if, you know, technology now, you can talk into your mobile device. But it helps you to write that stuff down. And the great thing that Ms. Williams has done, she has put it in an awesome book that can help many, many other people that are going through that situation.
Right. Right, and I never thought, let me just clear one thing. As I was writing it down on my journal, I never thought one second to turn it into a book. A book wasn't even on my mind until the day of my son's funeral when a nurse came to me and told me I should turn it into a book. I never even thought about a book when I was, like, I call it keeping notes. That's what I was calling it, keeping notes. So it just happened that, you know, they said things happen for a reason. You know, I didn't believe it at first. When my son passed away, it was hard for me to say that saying that things happen for a reason, because everybody told me once he passed away, you know, things happen for a reason, look forward to the future, you know, stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't want to hear that at first. But now, as I'm years and my son passed away in 2005, life still goes on. And I still love my son. My son is still a piece of my heart is missing. It's going to always be a piece of my heart is missing. But life still goes on. But as a mother first losing a child, they don't see it at that time. But time do heal. And I never believe that either. But time do heal.
Well, I can agree, and my mom has said that as well. And you know, of course, that was my brother. Now, you know, and I actually, you know how you can bite your own tongue, if you will. I had a real close girlfriend that stepsister had passed a month before my brother. And, you know, the cliche we love to say is they in a better place. You know I won't say that no more. Because people came to me to say the same thing. Chanel, the same thing. And just like you said, the other two things you're mentioning, I felt the same way. But you know what? Life experiences will make you, and I don't want to, that's the right word I need to say, it will make you change your mind about a lot of things. And so you have to be very careful. And I thought I was careful, but I found out I wasn't. You got to be really careful of what you say. Especially when someone is going through the grieving process, the best thing to do is just to sit there. Don't even say nothing. <You know?
laughs> I agree with you.
Wow.
Because people say things in good ways. Mm-hmm. They say things. They don't mean to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. They say things. But when my son passed away, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to hear, things happen for a reason. I'm so sorry about your loss. You don't want to hear that. You understand what I'm saying? Even though it's, you know, you consider, you don't know it at the time, but they just being nice and they just sending their condolences. But as a parent that just lost their child, you don't want to hear that. I'm sorry to say, you don't want to hear that.
Wow. Now, through your, Janine, the Sacker book as well that you came and you can partner with another young lady that was going through the same situation. You know, it's hard to give, but what are some, I mean, because this season, you know, that's when it kind of gets to you sometimes with the holidays, because, you know, certain things, you know, that they would do during the holidays that would make you laugh. And you know, I always use myself as an example of Charlene, but I know whenever I'm talking, whenever I'm doing something, I could always feel a cool breeze across my face, and I know my brother's with me because when he passed, that's when I actually started doing media, started writing the book, started speaking, started having that confidence. And I always feel that cool breeze across my face when I'm talking. But, you know, when people are going through that, any advice, I mean, you gave us some great advice already about be careful what you say. You know, just be there, be supportive. But any advice that we can kind of give people, especially with the holidays going on, of how we can actually do a tribute to them, maybe, you know, not even, you know, just try to get through that situation, because like you said, time does heal things.
Yeah, and let me tell you this. My son passed 2 days after his birthday. His birthday is December the 16th. He passed on the 18th. We buried him 2 days before Christmas. So, you know, Christmas was hard for me for a couple of years. I just really got back into putting my tree up, probably like my grandson, 4 years old. Probably like when he was 2 years old, me and my son used to put the tree up all the time, me and my son and my husband. But once he passed away, and remind you, I buried him that Friday. It was 2005. That Friday I buried him, that Sunday was Christmas. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't want to, I stayed in the bed. It was like, and for those who lost a child around the holidays, around his birthday, because I experienced, I know. It's just hard. You just don't want to, but sometimes you just got to put your foot down, especially if you got grandkids and you lost one of your own child, but then you got grandkids. Like they say, things happen for a reason. And now that I lost my child, God brought me a grandson. You understand what I'm saying? You might not understand what I'm saying, but I feel as though things do happen for a reason. And my son passed away. I'm going to miss him dearly, but now I have a grandson. And I can spoil my grandson. And I know my son is looking down on it. For those mothers that don't feel as though that they can't move on, life don't go get no better, trust me, life get better. Look, I got 3 books out now. I don't move into my dream home. Life get better. Life does get better in time. And that's a true saying, mothers and parents. Time do heal all wounds. Yes, it do.
Wow, this is so powerful, that what you're saying. Because I can hear the passion. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you hear the passion that she, this is real information. You know how people can give you advice and you kind of say, oh, okay. You know, maybe they have read a book or something like that. But this is what this beautiful young lady and her family has actually been through to help us. I mean, actually, you know, I'm going to actually share this, of course, with my mom, because I can tell by her eyes. Some days are wonderful and some days are not. Cause
yeah.
you know, even in your case, Ms. Williams, Lord, your child was 12. My brother was 37. And, you know, and then people, you know, have said, even to my dad, because that's why we're getting back to people not knowing what to say, well, you know, what a Sunday name will stop, because he was the only son. But people don't realize, I mean, and I'm not boasting on me, of course, but even with good deeds and the speaking I do and the things I do, people I know about Sunday, the publishing come good deeds and that kind of stuff, international. So
right. We
don't understand a lot of stuff, and I'm kind of glad we don't understand a lot of stuff, because, you know, we'll be trying to say we don't need God. And of course we do need that. But I commend you, and especially the other young lady that did the book with you, that you put this on paper and published it and made it a publication, because that's one thing, you know, how corporate America, you know, I'll just say the world in general, we need to talk about grief, going through the grieving process, but people really don't want to. But we have to do that. So, oh, wow, I love it.
Now, right, you need to do that, because some people grieve in different ways. Like my husband, I was like, when my son passed away, you know, as a mother, I'm hurt, I'm torn apart, I'm crying, my eyes puffy, my eyes. But every time I look at my husband, he's just calm, cool, and collected. And I was like, what, you ain't love our son, you know? So that's why I'm saying that, like, for men out there, they grieve different than women. We carried our baby in our womb for 9 months. We even got closer to our child. You understand what I'm saying? We felt that first kick. We felt everything, he moving or she moving around in our stomach. We felt that. So for me to take it harder than, I used to always say to my husband, like, you don't love him? I never saw he did cry. But as, like, crying with the puffy eyes and a runny nose like I did, I never seen that. He could have did it behind closed door. I'm not saying he never did it, but a mother let it out. The daddy is just holding it in. Like, you know, calm, cool, and collected. And I'm sure, like, your father, he probably holding it in. Calm, cool, collected. He ain't let y'all see him, like, cry or get crazy like how the mother do. You know? It's just, like, different in grieving situations. Mm-hmm. I think women, some women can control it, but I think a woman can't control their grieving. A man has theirs under control. For real, much under control.
Yeah. My dad, it really hit him when my brother passed right there at the hospital. And me and my mom and dad, because I actually had to go back to Georgia. And so when everybody left, that's when my mom and dad, they really, you know, comforted each other, because that's when nobody was around pushing them, making them eat, making them do this and that type of stuff. So you have to have that period, though, that is just you there. You have to say, okay, Lord, we're independent. Oh, yeah, as the old people say. But like you said, hang on in there. Time is great medicine. It's hard going through it. We're not going to say it's easy, Willie, as the people say.
Mm-hmm.
But time, and please have support, you know, support of your family,
yes,
your church, your friends. Yeah, exactly.
But
Lord,
sometimes they don't even want to be bothered with nobody. You know, people out there sending their condolences want to just support you. Like, I'm a phone person. I love being on the phone. At that time, I hated the phone. Every time I heard it ring, I just like, oh, watch the time my ring go off. Because it's just like, you don't want to hear that at the time. But then as life goes on and years go past, and then you understand, you look back. That's what you do. You look back. And, like, everybody was like, how could you write that book? You know, a couple of mothers said to me, like, if my son or daughter passed away, I can't. Who gave you the strength to write the book? I said, God gave me the strength to write the book. I said, it was all God doing.
Right.
I would have never thought about no book. He said things happen for a reason. And I stopped a couple of times. I wanted to quit writing a book because once I wrote that book, it brought back the memories, like it just happened yesterday.
Yes.
So I had to pause it and stop, pause it and stop. But then something kept pushing me to keep on continuing writing. And I really believe truly it was God was pushing me to get my book and my story out there so I can help others.
I agree. I totally agree. Well, Lord have mercy. We're going to actually take a quick commercial break. And this awesome young lady, Ms. Charnell Williams, will be here. We're going to talk about this other book. She knows which one I'm talking about, this picture book. We're going to actually dive into it. It's not what you think it is, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to take a quick break and let our sponsors do their thing, and we'll be right back. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
Okay, ladies, it's time to get this makeup thing right once and for all. So let's bring the professional to you. Call Atlanta's number one mobile makeup artist, Melinda Cannon Jones. Melinda will hook you up with your best look ever. Weddings, galas, special events, or just a night out on the town. Count on quality products, on-time service, and a look that will light up the room. Melinda Cannon Jones, your new mobile makeup artist. Call 470-564-9999. That's 470-564-9999. Follow E. Cannon Jones on Instagram and Facebook.
Introducing All Nations TV, the best in gospel music, teaching, preaching, and community programming. All Nations TV is a new innovative Christian-based broadcasting company featuring Preachville, Press Play Gospel, Anointed Hands, and more. Tune in today to be inspired by visiting allnationstv.com. That's allnationstv.com.
You guys, you know we're back. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We have the awesome young lady, Miss Charnell Williams. These some awesome nonfiction books that we need to read because, you know, one thing will for sure happen is we will have a death in our family. We will have to go through the grieving process. You know, the grieving process is with anything, any difficult situation, you do grieve. When you lose your job, when you lose your house, when you lose your car, when you're just disappointed about something, you are in the grieving process, not just when someone passed away. And so you actually have to have tools and strategy and the practical and the spiritual things you need to do when you're going through this situation. I know that firsthand. But we actually want Ms. Charnell Williams to tell us about her other book, the fiction book. We're excited to hear about that.
Okay, my fiction book. And please, y'all, I'm new at this. This is my first fiction book. I'm Black and He's White. And it's about an interracial relationship, a black woman and a white Caucasian man. And the main character, her name is Cheryl Sanders, and the other character is Alice Peters, is the man. And it's about them meeting on the road. His car broke down on the side of the road, and Cheryl, and the story takes place in New York City. And Cheryl pulled over on the side of the road, and that's when everything started, by her just pulling over on the side of the road. Matter of fact, his car wasn't broke down. She thought it was broke down. It's just that he ran out of gas on the side of a New York City road. So that's how their love interest takes effect. And it's a good, to me, it's a good book. My editor had to edit a lot of stuff out because she said, I know, don't tell him too much. And I told her I wanted to write a part two. So she was like, oh, we can't give them everything in part one. We got to make them want to read part two. So she cut a lot of stuff out of my book that I had in part one. But it's a good read to me. For me to be, and I'm not saying this for my book, I had a lot of my friends tell me that it was a good read. And, you know, you're going to have your bad reviews because a lot of people did want it, a lot of details. But it's a good book. It's about innovation. And I came up with this idea because I live in the Poconos. And it's a lot of interracial relationships up here. And my son was in one. But this book is not about my son and his girl, so don't take it like that, because my son asked me, is that about me and my ex-girls? And I was like, no. But, so I come across and I hear people's stories. I was like, maybe I need to write a book about that. No, everybody not asked me, have I ever been in an interracial relationship? No, I haven't. My husband's been together for 28 years, and I'm happy. So I never looked the other way. He's a black man, and I just wanted to write this book. It's a fiction book, y'all. Fiction book, no. And I have a lot of people asking me that in my inbox on Facebook. have you ever experienced this? Have you? No, no, no. I haven't experienced. What do fiction mean, people?
But you know that sort of that because people. But you know what? You actually just hit on something that just is awesome. Because that's the number one thing, and I know your editor may have mentioned, that you have to make sure you draw people in with a fiction book. Well, all books, really, but especially fiction, because fictions tend to be longer books. So that's an awesome thing if they actually able to relate and say, wait a minute, who is this? But so you got them, just like your editor said, for the second series.
And let me tell you this. I had a man inbox me from the U.K., him and his girlfriend is in an interracial relationship. He was asking me questions. I mean, he wrote me a long paragraph on my inbox on Facebook. And I was like, he must have heard me that I've never been in this type of relationship because he wanted to know how do it feel to be in it. I've never been in this, and I had to write it. He was like, well, why did you write the book? I said, it's a fiction book. But, you know, his girlfriend was black and he was white, and he wanted to know, like, because everything was new to him, he said. He was like, oh, this is new to me, and I'm glad I seen your own book, and I'm going to buy your book. I want to read it. But could you answer a couple of questions? I couldn't answer nothing because I don't know nothing about dating a white man. I didn't know. So what I told people is,
being from the South and then, you know, the differences of the South and the North, with any relationship, you have to have love and respect for each other.
Right, right. Yeah, you do. I'm just going to tell you about my bad review because I had a bad review on Amazon. I had one, and she was really messed up because Sheryl Sanders and the character in my book was going out with a white man. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she's getting so offended. What's going on? She's like, this book, I said, you got to date a white man. I was like, oh, my God. So then my editor said, Chanel, calm down, because I was upset, because she was upset. She said, calm down. You're going to get people, it's about black and white. You're going to get people who don't agree with it. You're going to get people to agree with it. You're going to get the negative. You're going to get the positive. So just write your book and sell your book and promote your book and call it a day. If they got questions for you, try to answer to your best of your ability. So, it just was crazy.
Well, no, that's true. And then the world in general, we like things that somewhat of a controversy, you know, in regards of gender, sex, and creed, as our constitution say, you know, that's always going to be people talking about. And then, of course, people having different opinions depending on how they were brought up. I mean, depending on what socioeconomical status, you know, of course, our differences of how we were brought up from the, again, like I say, the difference off in the North is, you know, somewhat different. But, yeah, like your editor said, don't stop, get it. You get it.
And I had
we
an
need
author
to
tell
talk
me,
about that.
Right, and I had an author tell me, was Chanel, at least she read your book. That's important. She read your book. She was like, you know, the reviews is, you know, good to have reviews, but people write reviews because they read your book, whether it's positive or negative. They read your book. She said, just look at it like that.
That's true. That's true. You just got to promote it, you know, like your editor said, you had to continue to promote it and just continue to do things like you're doing now. You know, media is very powerful, and word of mouth is very powerful. Just do the best you can to answer the question, like I said. So that was great advice. Well, that's amazing. Right. So, yeah, we got to wait for the part two, I think you said maybe a thriller is in the works.
Yeah, because now I'm working on part two, Aunt Black Key's Wife, part two coming soon. I wanted to be by. I hate doing deadlines, but I'm going to say January the 1st, but I just hate deadlines, but I'm going to say January the 1st. Plus, I'm writing another anthology with another author. Her name is Vanessa, and we put two of our short stories in the book. And we writing about, because we grew up in the projects, so we writing about the life that we lived in the projects. So that's very interesting. So that should be out in January 2015, too.
That's amazing. Yes, because we need to actually hear all these testimonies, the people that have, you know, we call them challenges, obstacles, you know, things that we've been through, and then we have a breakthrough. We never know who, if you know, I always say this, and my mom has always told me this as well, if you help one person, your living will not be in vain. And you know that
right.
One person, when they actually is happy, and they feel good about themselves, guess what? That's going to affect their immediate environment. So really you're not
right.
helping one, you're helping a multitude of people. So we commend you and continue to do all the awesome work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to just put out there, I really would love my book, my first nonfiction book, to be turned into a movie. So I've been Twittering, producers, I've been doing it, because I think, like, for the black community, like when my son first was diagnosed with leukemia, a lot of black people didn't really know what leukemia was in my community. You understand what I'm saying? So I figured if we can make a movie about it and tell a true story about what is leukemia and step by step that goes through my book, I think it can help a lot of us, because I really didn't know what leukemia was until I read about it. So, you know, I just want my book to be turned into a movie. What do a mother do? Does she kill Williams' story?
Well, that's awesome. Well, actually, coming up in 2015, I actually have we'll keep in touch. I actually have a platform that's coming up about just grief in general, and we need to actually have the information about, especially when the mother goes through that. So we'll
right.
we'll continue to,
yeah,
to be in touch, and I'll give you information.
I want to sit on somebody's panel
awesome.
And tell my story. You heard me? I said I want to sit on somebody's panel and tell my story.
Amen. That's awesome. Well, dude, you know, time goes by so quickly here. Please give us some last-minute words, and then, of course, follow up with your contact information of how we can, you know, purchase these awesome publications. Oh, God. And then, too, how we can support you on the social media platform.
Okay. Just for everybody out there, I just want to thank for the support that I'm getting for everybody. And if you go to Facebook, I got my second Christmas annual book giveaway. And last year was success, but this year I want to make it a bigger success. It's that when authors send me a signed copy of their books, and I give it away to callers on my radio show, because I do too have a Blog Talk radio show, and I give the books away to the callers. Christmas, and I really think that's good, because a lot of people can't afford to buy books, you know, so I came up with this idea. So I hope everybody go to my Facebook page and support this. It's the second Arthur Charnell second annual Christmas giveaway, and it's on an event page. So please, the address, everything, you want to send your book there, everything is up there. And plus, I just want everybody to follow your dreams. Don't let nobody say you can't. Ain't even no such word as can't. You can't. You know, just keep on following your dream. You want to be a writer. A lot of people come up to me and ask me, well, where do I start at? You start, you got to get a pen and a paper. That's how you start. So you got to get that pen and that paper going. Then you need a computer. A lot of people say they don't have computers. You need a computer because you have to go to Word and you got to type your own, whatever you're writing about on Word. So, yes, you do need a computer, but first of all, you need your pen and your own your notebook or whatever you call it. You need that. Follow your dream. Don't let nobody say you can't. You're going to have the negative. You're going to have the good. You got to take some time, the negative with the good with the negative. So follow your dream. And you can get in contact with me on my Arthur Charnell page on Facebook, or Charnell Williams on Facebook. On Twitter is Arthur Charnell on Twitter. And my Blog Talk radio show, hit me up on my Blog Talk radio show, is Arthur Charnell-Blog Talk radio show. That's my page. And my website, whatdoamotherdo.com. You can get all three of my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BAM, Create